Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Gracious Eternal Father, we thank you for this opportunity again, Lord, in continuation of your service to assemble in your presence. Thank you for the Sunday school that has gone already and the blessings we receive. We thank you for the worship service, the hymns and the choruses, and special numbers that your people rendered. Thank you for the song leader, the users of instruments, and those who sang special. We ask for your blessings upon them and each and every one of your children. Master Jesus, we have come again, Lord, to continue our service unto you and to seek out for more blessings from your word. Don't pass any of us by. Remember us and meet just our need, Heavenly Father. May your word not be a drama to anyone. May we take it with the seriousness it deserves, that the blessings might be ours, O God. Master, we pray for every garden of the saints today, that you be with your people, your servant travel with the wife, Lord, to the village. Wherever they will be today, may your presence be with them. We also want to commend your servant, the evangelist that have gone to Bakatari, to also standing for Radeo Mew traveled. May you be strength and protection and bless him, make him a blessing to the people. Commend the pastor to your hand, Lord, as ministers also your word. Lord, today in the home church where he's hosted, we pray that you will give him your strength, your inspiration, your anointing. Bless the people, O Father. Wherever the saints are gathered in like manner under the sun, may you bless your people today. Meet all our needs, Father. Heal the sick and the afflicted. Strengthen the weak ones. Baptize us with your spirit. While we commit the physical audience into your hand, we also pray for the invisible ones. That you be with them where they are and bless them also. We pray, O God, that the gadgets will work normal, Lord, and the network will also be normal too. Bless us together today. At the end of the service, may we have recourse to give glory and honor to you. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. God bless you. You can please be seated. Welcome ourselves to church in the name of Jesus Christ. And we especially welcome the Oluwaro teammates from their leave. Yeah, welcome and welcome, sir. It's, God bless you, sir. That's like 3 months or so. Obviously, month is a sabbatical leave. All of us, we long for such opportunity too. I will just, though Mama wouldn't, it's not 100% because grandchildren are there too and things, but then at least environment is different. When they came, say on Thursday, I said, you are welcome to heat. Because once they enter Nigeria, they know that this is Nigeria. The heat that we welcome them, then darkness, gross darkness over the place. You know? There's no how you enter Nigeria, you don't know that this is Nigeria. God have mercy upon us. As a background or preamble to this, which we titled Windows of Heaven. And I think it will not be less than about 90% of us that were, or 95 that were in the Sunday school. So, and we look at scriptures and also read a couple of quotes. We will not be able to go over it again. But my point is that is that scripture
of Malachi 3, verse 10. It's a scripture that we need to read very well with understanding. And when we obey the instruction that is in there, then we should also pray with that same scripture as we expect God's part of the contract. And when we see anything that is to the contrary, then we should call Jesus on the scene. The prophet preached a sermon calling Jesus on the scene. And that's why we read, we went through in the Sunday school, giving us scripture, seven examples from the scriptures of when we saw God opening the windows of heaven. And Abraham emphasized it in the quote we read, until he even said that if you do that and you don't see God sending forth blessings, say, call me a hypocrite. And it is said, it is one of God's blessings that is proven to be a blessing. So the word of God is the truth. Is it the truth? It is the truth. Yeah. So let's take note of it. If you miss the Sunday school, just look at it from, because if you want to start it, we will not even reach anywhere with this sermon. Shall we rise up to read from the scriptures? 3 John. Epistle General of John. I think it's just one chapter, isn't it? Yeah. We read verse 2. 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of this portion of his word. You can please be seated. This morning, the Lord helping us, we want to speak about the sermon that I titled Prosperity. It's an uncommon path. I told you, we are traveling through uncommon paths. The Sunday school is an uncommon path. This one too is also an uncommon path. And every part of God's word, they are part of God's word. So we've got to once in a while remind ourselves of what is in the scripture that we carry and the message we carry. One day I was entering into the bathroom, as I said the other day, and this word came to my ears, prosperity. Then I asked my, what is prosperity? While I was in the bedroom, some scriptures started coming then. Merely as I come out, I put them down and then begin to meditate for them. So many things pour inside and it has grown to become a sermon. Abraham said that when he goes into the wilderness for hunting, he said he used to carry a jotter with him. And sometimes when he doesn't have a jotter, he will take bullets. And he used to write on the wooden part of the gun. He said to be able to keep that thought in his mind. Because if the thought goes, he may never return. It has happened to me before that while meditating something, we just try. And maybe I'm on the bed. If I am too weak or too lazy to carry my phone, because I used to put my phone on the ground beside the bed. So I pick it, go to the notes, and put something there and keep it back there. If that thing comes in like that, if you don't put it down, it may go and may never return. If it will return, it might be through serious prayers. Because you know that thing that came, there is something to it. You have to pray to bring it back. So, we want to speak about prosperity. It may not be the way denominations preach it, but want to preach it in the balanced form, in the scripture and the message. And it has so many parts and ingredients inside, which maybe both sweet and bitter will swallow all of them to make it a whole pill. Yeah. God bless you. In the olden days, we have account of the scripture, like Abraham is called the father of faith. The Bible makes us to know that in Genesis 13:2, that he was rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. He wasn't a poor man. He was rich in cattle. He was rich in silver. And he was rich in gold. And in Genesis 36, we have another account where, let me look at Genesis 36:7. But I want to read beyond the verse that I put down here. Genesis 36. Yeah, I want to read the previous verses, a couple of them. Yeah. Now, let's read from verse 6. And Esau took his wives, and his sons, and his daughters, and all the persons of his house, and his cattle, and all his beasts, and all his substance, which he had got in the land of Canaan, and went into the country from the face of his brother Jacob. For their riches were more than that they might dwell together. And the land wherein they were strangers could not bear them because of their cattle. And even, I think, in this same Genesis 13, that was what led to the even the substance of Lot and Abraham too was increasing. That is what led to strife. And then they were not able also to dwell together. And they have to separate one from the other. Amen. What is prosperity? God himself here told us that he said he wish above all things that we prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospereth. So he's talking of soul prosperity and physical prosperity. So in each way, the desire of God for his children is to prosper. So it's a key, it's something we cannot run away from. That is God's desire for his children. And he has put things in his word to make it to be so. If that does not remove the other aspect, which all of them are part of the sermon, we'll look at it. Joseph is called in the scripture a man of prosperity. Abraham called him the prince of prosperity. Wherever he goes, prospers. Because God was with him. Of course, it was because of jealousy that he was driven from his brethren. Abraham said that his brethren shouldn't have driven him away when they see God prospering him. He said that instead of that, they should have loved him. That's why the prophet said that if you want to prosper, he said, be in favor with those that God is with. Then you will see how you prosper. If God is with somebody and you envy the person or you hate the person, it will make your condition worse. So this Joseph, he prospered when he went to the house of Potiphar, everything prospered. When he was sent to the prison prospered. Wherever he is, he prospered. When he went to the palace, then the whole land prospered. No, we passed his way in the Sunday school. That was one of our reference points. After he interpreted the dream, and the dream led to abundance of food in Egypt for 7 years of famine, when the land should have been languishing and famishing, when they should have maybe almost be eating their own children. Because the interpretation of the dream said that the famine will be so grievous that they will forget the 7 years of plenty. So if God himself said that the famine will be grievous, in fact, if you don't understand it well, then look at the people from Cana and other places where they come to, at least because the searchlight of God was on Egypt and on Cana. He was not talking of other countries, but there are definitely all other countries all around that were also coming to Egypt to also buy food. Because that is where the thing was happening. That is the only place at that time where there is food. It was a very difficult situation. Until these people said that if we don't go, all of us will die. You know, Joseph said, if you don't bring your brother, you know, see my face again. And when they got home, their father said, this one you have said is a hard thing. I don't think this one will work. Well, all of them leave the matter. But when they checked the store and the bag of rice was empty, where they put yam, they carried the last one. When they checked the bag of beans, it also was empty. They go to here, they put yam flour. Say, well, yes, we have reached the bus stop. Say, if we should go and buy food. You know the condition now. To go and buy food, the boy. Say, but I don't, you people, you are very terrible. Why did you go and be mentioning to that man that you still have another brother? Say, the man is not the person you think. The man is full of wisdom. He asks questions. His own FCC something and ICPC is very serious. Say, he asks us questions. Very tedious questions that do you not think he will ask. The way we come out with the question, no expecting we meet you. So, in fact, say the way the man, that's the only condition, otherwise all of us will die here. I'm talking about the extent of that famine. It was terrible. And yet, because Jehovah has preserved some abundance, the people ate, at least there were things they can give when the money finished as trade by barter to collect food, and all of them survived. Amen. Now the prophet said, let me go read this. And then from the message, the angel of the covenant. I didn't have time to write out all my quotes this morning, and so I just have them here. Alright. The angel of the covenant, 1954, March 03-01, paragraph 13. And then we know how that the patriarch sold Joseph, which was a perfect type of Christ. How that he, being loved of the father, hated of the brothers, just a typical, well, it was Christ in Joseph. And they hated him without a cause. Because he was spiritual. He was born a seer. And he saw visions, dreamed dreams, and interpreted them. He was more spiritual than the rest of his brothers. And they hated him without a cause. They ought to have loved him more because the force that God was with him. You just do favor for those that God is with and watch how you prosper. So that is one of the key of prosperity. And God is always with his son, Jesus Christ Jesus. You know that. So you just do him favor and see how you prosper. Amen. The message gifts, 1956, December 07, paragraph 21. Gifts, 1956, December 07, paragraph 21. How Joseph was a perfect type of Christ. How Moses was a type of Christ. Moses the lawgiver. How that Joseph was a prince of prosperity. Everything he did prospered. When he was here on the earth, put him in the dungeon, everything prospered. Put him in Pharaoh's palace, everything prospered. Wherever he went, he was the prince of prosperity. And when he comes again in his glory, the desert shall blossom as a rose. And we'll have no more deserts. And everything will prosper in the great millennium when the prince of prosperity arrives. How wonderful. Amen. Excuse me. God told Joshua in the book of Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 and verse 8. He said, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now, God was telling Joshua the key of prosperity in his own time. That for you to prosper, be strong, be courageous, observe to do according to all the law that Moses my servant has commanded you. Don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left. When you do this one, he said, you will prosper wheresoever you go. It's the key of prosperity. That is what God told Joshua. Now, definitely, as we pick these ones, we have not gotten to our own. We will see, talk to many. Just be jotting them down. This is what happened here. Note it. This one happened here. Note it. And be adding everything together. It is all of it together that is required today, because this is when all the blessings of God is being released. That is for whosoever. That is why we took the Sunday school as a foundation. The windows of heaven. After this, our time, there is no more blessing coming to this earth. Because everything comes to an end. Look at Jew. Look at Israel. A small place. Do you know that as small as the land is in landmass, as small as the people are in population, just about 6 million plus. In all the world, all the military giants of the world, there is no single country that can make match to Israel. This one that UI and US is doing to be supplying them, they don't even need anything from US to survive. It's only that this giant country, they try to do that one to be relevant. But without all those ones, say in the past over 70 years, about 75 years, this attack they got from Hamas, said, is the worst, because it just comes suddenly. They just begin to bombard them with, and that led to the death of about 1,000 and something. And then Netanyahu said, the prime minister, he said, for their lifetime, this will be the last time that a thing like that will happen. What they are doing now is that they are going to completely delete and erase those ones from under heaven. The same thing that happened that God told Saul to go and do. That I want to wipe off the memory of Amalekite from under heaven. That was the mission. And that is the same mission now that Israel have for Amalek. Even US have said them to pause. They say pause. There is no country they will listen to. If you like, be their friend. If you like, be their enemy. Anything you want to do, do. The things that they have as armory, even the scientists said,
that they are about the second in the world. A country that small, a country without population, without small landmarks. Why is all this? It is because Jehovah God is involved in their matter. That is the difference. And as they stay like that, let there be a combination of U.S. with Russia. These are the major powers. Let China join. Another of their junior brothers and sisters. Let them join them together. All their equipment, Israel have sufficient to weather the storm. And if it gets to a point that any of their something is not able to do this one, then they will see the supernatural. Because if you watch when Netanyahu is giving speech, he's quoting scriptures. He's quoting scriptures. They know where they are standing, and they are pointing to the scriptures, and they know God's obligation, and they know that the reputation of God is attached. So when he's talking, even if he's talking in UN, in wherever, he's quoting scriptures. He's not ashamed of their religion. He's not ashamed of their God. He's not ashamed of the promises. He's not ashamed to stand by those ones. And that is why we are saying to our church in the Sunday school, look at the scriptures. If things are going contrary to what it is planned in the scripture, and you have done your part, then call Jesus on the scene and let him know him. It's not pride. In plain terms, this is what you said in your word. Now, let me tell you that the value of one word is not greater than the value of another word. All of it is inspired, or nothing is inspired. All of it is inspired, or nothing is inspired. So if this is in the scriptures, you hold it. That's why Abraham, when he was meditating in the wilderness, this scripture, then God told him, I said that this scripture is just like any other scripture. When God mean window of heaven, he mean windows of heaven. And the only key that opens that window is for me to pay my tithe and offering. Finish. Once I've done that one, whosoever is in charge of that key is obligated to open it. Because God himself said, I should prove him. So God himself is on proving ground. Is to be proven. Whether he keeps his word, whether he means what he says, or we stand by it, or we shut back, he said, prove me. And then Brother Abraham said, if God will not do it, he said, you call me a hypocrite. Amen. God told Joshua how to prosper. And in 2 Chronicles 20:20, this went to the entire nation. 2 Chronicles 20:20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Joshua stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. Amen. Say, believe in the Lord your God, you will be established. Then believe his prophet, you will prosper. In their own time, there is a prophet that is sent to them. Prophet Moses is sent to them, and all the other prophets that ever come up that is going to speak, in reference to the things that Moses has spoken, when they believe that prophet, they also believe in Moses. This is our own time. And there is just one prophet in this time that God sent to this end of time by the person of William and Abraham. So if God is going to speak today, he will tell us to believe the Lord our God who will be established. And by believing the Lord our God, we are being established in the truth. Now we should believe his prophets and we will prosper. And the prophet he has sent to us today, which is the key prophet that tied the entire scripture together, is the fulfillment of Malachi 4, William and Abraham. When we believe that one, we must also prosper. When you ask me which type of prosperity, we have read it in 3 John, verse 2. Say, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health as thy soul prospereth. So anything that is trying to battle against that prosperity, be it soul prosperity, be it health prosperity, be it physical prosperity, is an enemy of God through these scriptures. And we have to fight it to a standstill, because that is the desire of God, that we should believe him and will prosper. Amen. We are talking of prosperity. Say this man won't preach Pentecostal message. If Pentecostal message is in the Bible, we have to preach it. Let's continue. In Deuteronomy 29:9. He said, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Now, let's leave the other side also and look at something. In the time of the children of Israel, when God was talking to them about their harvest and the rest of it, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 15 verse 11, he said, for the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore, I command this saying, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land. As much as there will be blessings, as much as there will be abundance, he said, for the poor will never cease. In other words, I will give you a point of trial that will stay by you. The poor who will still go and look at the poor. We'll look at the poor. What made the poor poor? Is he born to be poor? Is he ordained to be poor? Did he make himself poor? We have to look at that poor. May the Lord be our help. We'll touch every angle. We are speaking of prosperity. Now, when you have the poor, I will just read some few scriptures which are instructions from God. Psalm 41 verse 1. I'll go to Proverbs. Psalm 41 verse 1. He said, blessed is he that considereth the poor. Say, the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Because God has said that the poor will not cease, then he's also now talking to the people that anyone that consider the poor is blessed. He said, God will deliver him in time of trouble. Amen. Proverbs 14:31. He said, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. The one that oppresses the poor is reproaching his maker. You know, people are wicked, especially in this our country. We are wicked people that they torment the poor. Some are so rich, and yet they will employ laborers, they will not pay them. It's wickedness. Now, Proverbs 17:5. He said, whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad at calamities shall not be unpolished. Proverbs 19:17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. It's God that will pay him again. Proverbs 21:13. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. These are tough scriptures, but these are in the Bible. There are still plenty. I just pick few, only to read. He that giveth unto the okay, Proverbs 28:27. I would like me ask you to take my phone. The phone I'm charging on that table. Please let me bring it, and you will get a copy of these notes inside. All right. Proverbs 20, okay. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a cause. Thank you, sir. Just 1 minute, please. Yes, just scroll here. You'll see where we reach there. All right. Okay. Now, in the New Testament, in the book of Galatians, chapter 2. Galatians, chapter 2. I only put verse 10 here, but I want to see if I need to read some verse before this. Chapter 2, Galatians, chapter 2. Right. Okay. Let me read verse 9 and 10. All right. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. This is New Testament. All the scriptures we have read, they are in the Old Testament. But this one is New Testament, as the apostles were going in their something. They know also that the poor will not cease. Like I said, we'll still come to that, the poor is safe. Because let not the poor rejoice. That now the people have been told now that they should bring their resources. It's, the Bible didn't say you should lay the something at the feet of the poor. It's when they were gathering it, was at the apostles' feet, where they were laying the thing. May God have mercy upon us. But when we look at the poor, we type of poor. Because there are other instructions also in the scriptures that we hit the poor also. That we know that he ought not to be poor. There are people that ought not to be poor. So if they are poor, why are they poor? But there are people that are poor because of circumstances beyond human control. Then we look at that. Mama, wake up. All right. Amen.
And 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 13 says, "But ye brethren, be not weary in well doing." Amen. Now let's look at begging. Begging. Abraham said that begging is a bad business. Is it a good business? It's a bad business. So we have to say it straight the way it is said. That begging is a bad business. Jesus of Nazareth passed by. 1958, May 24. That is 580524, paragraph 20. In them days, there were many beggars, lepers. And when a man went to his work of a morning, and he had a few extra coins, maybe a certain beggar that met him first, he gave him the coin. And then that was as much as he could afford for that day. Except a very rich person, there is also a minimum that somebody can afford to give. You can't give your flesh. Neither can you sell your children so that you can be able to give to the poor. It is from what you can afford now that you can give to the poor. Are you following me? And then, that was as much as he could afford for that day. He had to wait till maybe another day. No, this Babiala, whatever you call them, they come to my house every week. Sometimes, two batches. Sometimes I won't be happy with them, but see, before they go, something will be seen. What are 50 on the naira? Just then we'll see, give to them. This group go, another group come. There are some people that don't want to hear Babiala in there. So then they said they don't actually stay in every house. Many houses, they pass them by. But Brother Bram said, we are not majoring on this. Brother Bram said that, you know, that a good citizen, not to talk of a Christian, should be ready to do small things for somebody that has a misfortune. Brother Bram was saying that one in the message of blind Bartimaeus. It's not part of my quote here. But there's no how things will not come in. Because the day blind Bartimaeus was begging, that very day the miracle happened, when he was asking for help, Abraham said, there was a minister that first go. That said he's going to, he hear that somebody is coming for revival in the city. That he wants to go and stop the revival. So he said when he was passing and blind Bartimaeus was coming around, get out of my way! And yet, he was a priest. That was bad. Now, the prophet said, well, begging was a bad business. You have not seen it? Okay. All right. Yeah. Begging was a bad business. And many times, they went hungry and done without. That is, it's not every day. Though there are some beggars. Now, that are richer than people that are working. That too has made some people to make up their mind not to even give to beggars. Because some revelations come out sometimes that they say this is also a beggar. He has three wives. He built two houses. When the man that is working and struggling and collects his gratuity and everything hasn't got two wives, hasn't got two houses. So many people have joined that trade of begging because money is there. May God have mercy on beggars. And sometimes beggars, they tend to tell lies. And that is making this business too not to be lucrative again. When a beggar is confirmed to be telling lies, nobody will respect that beggar again. For instance, you stay in the world road, you see somebody begging there. You go to a job that same day, you see that same person also there. In the world, he's telling you that he wants to travel to Ife.
and he hasn't got transport money. This same person you meet him for a job. He say he want to go to a learning, and he came to Ibadan, come to see somebody, and he didn't meet the person, and all that he have, can he get this and that? When somebody had lies to beg him, he's a wicked beggar. That one too has ruined the business. To begin with, begging is a bad business. Before I leave that point, if I need 3,000 and I meet Brother Joseph, please, I need 3,000. And Brother Joseph look at his pocket that what he can afford now is 1,000. And he give me the 1,000. I collect. If I now go and meet Brother Taiwo, I should tell Brother Taiwo that I need 3,000, but Brother Joseph has given me 1,000. So he remained 2,000. If Brother Taiwo also check his pocket and I say, sorry, bro, 1,000 is what I can afford, making 2,000. By the time I come and meet Brother Femi, I should tell Brother Femi that, God bless you, Brother Femi, I needed 3,000. When I met Brother Joseph, he gave me 1,000. When I went to meet Brother Taiwo, he also gave me 1,000. I still need 1,000. I don't know if you can afford. You also just see 1,000, then it's complete. I should go and meet another person again. But if I collect, if I meet Brother Joseph, he gave me the 3,000. I watch Brother Joseph go that side. I go meet Brother Taiwo. He say he can afford 2,000. Well, you try. God bless you. I watch him pass. Then I go meet this one. Until I get about 10,000, 15,000 in my pocket. That is stealing. That kind of a person cannot prosper. He can't prosper. Honesty must go with everything a Christian does. Honesty. You got to be honest. You got to be straightforward. You got to be plain. Never you think that your words can jam. Brother, this can meet brother this. They are just talking. Say, ah, though I have it, but this brother needed a can he have a. Say, which brother? He say, which brother? Because somebody has met him, he's interested to know which brother. And the name jam. I say, but I gave him 3,000. Ah, that's the same. Sorry, I gave him 2,000. Then they can jam. Yeah, they are talking. This one can also call. They are talking something. It's still jam. Then they discover that inside of the same pocket, money that has gone inside has reached over 10,000 naira. From that day on, that person has ruined himself. If you go and meet Brad Joseph, sorry, I don't have. Where am I? Sorry, I don't have. Sorry, I don't have. Because they have known that this one is a thief. There was a person that come. Look, today, I wish this one was not being broadcasted because I don't know who, but some people are depending on broadcast. So we just let it go anyhow. A person came here one time, very smart. You go to the deacon, he collect. You go to the pastor, he collect. You go to the he collect. Small time. When things begin jam something, maybe pastor don't have money for pocket, wanted to borrow from the deacons. And he said, then they now ask him, who do you want to give? Who is this person? The same person have come to collect money here. When he do and he discovered that he was not able to make success again, then he find his level. What he came for here is robbery. It's robbery. He's not a believer. He's not here to believe anything. He came here for robbery. So anyone that is like that, you can't prosper. And you cannot go far. This is some part of the bitter peace now that we have to swallow to make the old medicine old. May the Lord be our help. Now, Brother Abraham said, it's not among church members alone, not BL, but there are ministers also that are expert beggars. I tell you, once he called me recently. Brother, sir, grand old level. If you see waiting,
this one, this. I allow him to finish. That's how it is hard everywhere. This is somebody that when he wanted to marry, he raked everybody. To rent house, he will rake everybody. If the wife has a little stomach, something, he will rake. If you see my wife, the way he is only mouth. That is why when you go and see something that there is no noise about, maybe something just maybe swallow small something, and that is all. He will use the opportunity to rake everywhere until he's established a special beggar. And it will get to a time that no man will give to him. We are speaking about prosperity. There are sweet parts, there are all of it are offer, isn't it? Now the prophet, when he started his ministry, he said he made it as a point that there is not going to be begging in this ministry. And because of it, there are managers. You know, every human being, they are human being. A lot of the people came to the ministry of the prophet because of money. Because they know that, look, but like when they say the Amboke is coming to Nigeria, when you see people search to go and be preparing for the Amboke, it's because of money. And it is ministers. This one want to print a poster. This one want to be the one to organize the venue. This one want to be the all everything is about money. It is money they are after. Abraham had to sack some of his managers because of money. Because they know that Abraham doesn't have time to be looking at the money. But when they made the pool, money will come. So that they can be able to put something in their pocket. Abraham said, in the message, I am the resurrection and the life. Paragraph 1G was preached 1952, August 10 in the afternoon. So we try to do the same way. Our services is not to bomb people for money. If ever one time I ever hear of one of my managers begging for money, that is the end of the manager. We don't have no more managers like that, because when God don't supply my needs out here, he wants me to go home. And so, I wait for another vision. Amen. In the message, what is in your hand? November 20, 1955, paragraph 10. And now, this meeting striking that, not your cost, but it just somehow, maybe we may be out of session or something another. They didn't have the audience enough to take care of the expenses. Have missed it two times. And both of it was in California. One down at the other place and one up here. And I promised the Lord that when my meetings got to a place they didn't financially support itself, and I never will let them beg. If anyone ever begs for money or who is going to give $50 and so forth, that is the time that we stop. Yes, sir. I don't believe in that. No, sir. God is able. And I said, now, Lord, when you don't support me, then it is time for me to come in home. So now, I don't believe in begging money. But anyhow, we have a way. Then God has made a way for us now, that through our efforts, we can pay off everything and it will be taken care of. Fine. Now, this is not saying, now, remember you dear people that just put in money and done all you could. If you need something and there's not enough to make it up and everybody, you can't do it, you know. I know what it is. What if somebody come and ask me this afternoon and say, Brother Abraham, I wish you would let me have $5,000. Oh, brother, I wish I could, but I couldn't do it. So, you get the measure I am talking in. Amen. And okay, in question and answer on the Holy Ghost, 1959 December 19, paragraph 151 to 154. The prophet said this. He said, now I think this. God sent me on the feet. I've seen the time where I look like I will be at least. I didn't have no money at all. And I'll say, just pass the collection plate. And the manager will come to me and say, look, Billy, we have $5,000 in red tonight. Boy, have you got the money in Jebusafi to pay it? I'll say, it's all right. God sent me here, or I wouldn't have come. Just pass the collection plate. And before the meeting is over, somebody say, you know, the Lord put it on my heart to give $5,000 to this. See, first be led to do it. Amen. I do not believe in pulling and begging and bombing money. I think it's the wrong thing. Now, brother, if you do it, don't let me hurt your feelings. See, you might have the right of way from God to do it. But I'm speaking just for myself. I do not believe in it. Now, I have even known of ministers going and say, I stood right not long ago. Now, this isn't Pentecostal. Well, it's churches, other churches. It was a big camp meeting. Gatti was with me. Many others present. And they took the whole afternoon at a famous denomination, two or three of them together. That's the regular churches, like our modern churches here in the city and so forth, at a big convention. And they took the whole afternoon standing on the platform and threatening that God will destroy their crops, will give their children polio, and things like that, if they didn't put into that meeting. That is exactly the truth. With this Bible before me, that is ministers cursing the people if they don't put money inside. Don't think that things doesn't happen. It does. And the spirit of this has not died. It's still the main thing today. It's even in the message. I said, it's blasphemy to God and to his followers. If God sends you, he will take care of you. If he hasn't sent you, then let the denomination take care of you then. But if God sends you, he will take care of you. Amen. Every day is not Christmas. Yeah. Every day is not Christmas. We have seen Abraham rich in this, rich in that. But let's look at the other side. Abraham in the message, the walking of the Holy Spirit. That was preached in 1956, August 18, 56:08-16, paragraph 45. The prophet said, are you ready to lay down and give all your rights as a Canadian? You say, well, now, look, Mr. Abraham, I've got a right to get back. He done something to me. I've just got a right to go bow him out. But you are ready to be shaved off and forfeit them rights. Oh, I tell you what I ought to do to that old denominational church of mine. That may be so. But are you ready to be shaved off? God wants lambs that is willing to be shaved off and become creatures of God. Notice, Abraham up there with Sarah, his wife. No doubt, but many times the meal barrel got way down to the bottom. It does happen. Doesn't it happen? But they still serve the Lord. They were in the perfect will of God, though they had to suffer just a little bit to make ends meet. Nearly everyone that really, truly serves God meets them kinds of times. Sure we do. For God's children, once in a while, even the richest person in Nigeria in the message, Cosmas, somebody hit him one time. Not a direct hitting, but he standard surety for somebody that collected about $150 million. And he refused to pay. And it's on him. That shook his business also. So himself have to sit down and reposition and start and then begin to, before he will scatter. Now, majority of these big business people, tycoon them so, if you hear the loan that they also services sometimes, It's a loan that when you hear, your ear will tingle. You just hear the name, you just hear the good side of it most of the time, but there is the other side. They are the other side, but it is their position and their prestige that they are using to keep the thing quiet. If not, when you hear a bag stagger, a big person is involved. He has collected heavy loan that they are not paid, and the bank is about to collapse. May the Lord be our help. Nearly everyone that really, truly serves God miss them kind of time. Sure we do. Sometimes you wonder how you are going to get the kiddies some shoes for school, how you are going to make this bill and that bill. Don't worry. There's only one thing to do, is rest on his promise. Yes, sorry. When you get to some spot, if you are a Christian, you will meet them once in a while. He said, all you can do, rest on his promise. And which promise? Abraham is quoting scripture here. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So when you eat them junctions, you have to appeal to the scriptures. When you appeal to the scriptures, then you go to Malachi and appeal to it and ask God also, I've done my part. This is your own part, needs attention. And your prophet pre-calling Jesus on the scene. It's not as if you are sleeping, but he said we should call you on the scene. You are needed now on the scene. Carry down or that we perish. We are preaching prosperity. Now, the prophet talked about what happened in India when he traveled there. I won't bring them quotes. In India, it was the level of poverty there. He said it was terrible that on the street, he has to give every penny he has on him to the people. He said it was so terrible. Then he said America. He said no matter how poor you can be in America. He said compared to India, say you are very, very rich. Is the prophet saying so? He said the wastage in America, he said it can feed India. But he said the thing almost gave him a nervous breakdown. Let me see. Okay, let me just read one paragraph. Then I leave him. That is from the message, The Word Became Flesh. That one is just one sermon. Paragraph 17. There is no poor people in America. I don't care where he is and how hard he has to live. There is never, not one person, not one poor person in America. If you find him in an alley, eating out of a garbage can, his clothes all off of him, and everything else, he is a millionaire. Abraham is comparing, no matter how wretched an American is, comparing him to India. Say, don't ever think he's poor, because he's not. After you once visit India, you see the poor people there. Why? I tell you, I'm hard-hearted, Abraham is saying. I entered the second paragraph. That is paragraph 18. I'm hard-hearted. And what made him to be hard-hearted? Because of things he has seen. I've seen so much and had to go through so much. Many of you might not understand now how effect it has on a human being when you see so many things. And you have to ride over the top of it all the time. Like that, make yourself feel different. After a while, you get into that kind of an atmosphere until you look at things and just don't notice it. Because you've got yourself to that place. Then he gave other examples about, you know, doctors that operate. You know, if you see a person normally as a human being, somebody's body open like this, some people will faint. But doctor will carry human being and carry their number, tear the teeth. And be there hours, be tearing it. And they know that this person they are tearing, either he leave or he go. And if he go, they just push him, hand him over to nurses to pack him up. They know where they are sending him. The next person, they don't put knife again. It's their profession. So their heart is hard. If a normal human being was there, and you see that happen, and you see where they send the person, you will run away from any where you see of hospital sign, you run away from the place. Only cyborg of hospital, you run away from it. Like Joan. When Joan had that, the mother put to bed, we show her the picture of the baby. Say, will you go and greet the baby in the hospital? Say, no. She refused. Say, no. The reason being that I encounter with that hospital is a place where they took somebody injection. And she has taken a number of injections that she didn't feel comfortable with. So anytime you mention anything, hospital, she's not interested. No matter what you say happened there. Even though they even show could see the picture of the baby, she was not interested. As long as it is hospital, not interested. It is situations that build somebody and make your mind like that. So Abraham has seen so much. The things that he has seen, I'm sure even doctor did not see. Because he encountered them terrible ones on a daily basis. Many. So, sometimes people that say they are poor, they have also not seen poorer people. Maybe you can see wear clothes and wear shoes. Some doesn't have the leg to put the shoe. You say they are unbelievers. Oh, sure, believers are inside too. I know of a brother in Labadi Church that I'm standing here. I've been to his house, to his farm, and everything like that. As I'm standing here, he cannot stand like that. His two legs have been removed. He was having diabetes. First of all, when I was there in January, one of the legs was removed. Now, they have removed the second one. So, he's without leg at all. His wife has left him because that one have a psychiatric problem. Has left many years ago. His only boy that I know, that boy has gone ragamuffin off somewhere. So he's by himself, no helper, no nothing. We call him Brother Obi, that's his name. The two legs are off. He's a brother. He's one of the foundation members in that church. So don't say it's unbeliever or we sit only on the street. He's also there inside. He's also inside. So the level of your own poverty, you never see somebody else. When you see somebody else, now you can see, say, this shoe, I don't like it, no quality, no. It's because you have leg to put. Somebody that doesn't have leg to put shoe, does he know quality of anything? No leg to put any shoe, whether it is fine or it's not fine. You say, you still have leg, you can still put in shoe. Even if it's your bare leg, you are using to match the ground, you know you are matching. Your leg is carrying you. May God have mercy upon us. One thing too is that human beings, they have never cultivated the habit of thanking God in any situation. Human beings always look at the gray area to bring out their complaint. Always look at the gray area to bring the complaint. They never see the other side where they can also bring some thanksgiving. May God be gracious to us. Alright. Let's leave that one and look at okay, what causes poverty? Now, like we said, poverty can come in different ways. Just like the Bible talk about eunuchs. You say some people are born as eunuchs. To be a eunuch is not to be active as a man, not potent, impotent. Because the work of the eunuchs in the Old Testament, they are people that dress the queen, that work with the queen. So they themselves must not be active, because if they are active, then they will defy the queen. Because the queen used to be very beautiful, the best they can get in the whole land. And these are the people that will be dressing them. Those ones, according to the scripture, they are made eunuchs by men. They castrate them, render them impotent if they are to serve in that office. That's the only condition. If not, they will be the first husband of the queen before the king will have access. He said there are eunuchs also that are born like that as eunuchs. Of course, that is clear. We know there are many, some men came up not active, not able to. They are impotent in a simple language. And some now, it can be an accident or whatever that even lead to them being impotent. We know that that can happen through accident, no backbone, yes, and the man is no more active. Then the Bible also talk about another eunuch that are so that made themselves eunuchs for the word of God's sake. It's not that they are not potent, but this type of eunuchs for the word of God's sake is that they do away with marriage with anything woman, such like Paul. He made himself a eunuch for the word of God's sake. But let's look at poverty. Poverty, nobody can say, I just live in poverty. Though Abraham said that, I chose to be poor. But the level of his own poverty is not the level of poverty we are talking about. In the beginning of the ministry, of course, the first suit he used to go and do his first campaign was a borrowed one from his brother. Don't let us talk about when he was young, he could not have writing paper, no shoe and things. Let's leave all those rooms. Let's start from when he became a minister. And then Brother Abraham said that he got to a point, you know, for like from the message, why are people so talked about, another message, that he said he looked at this ministry will have a lot of money because crowd will come. So he decided that was not going to put eye on this money issue. And he scrutinizes every money that is coming so that, because the Bible said that give blind the prophet. So he was careful about receiving. In fact, he overdo it until it was corrected. Everybody that said, no, I don't want to. Check, it's this one. No, I don't want. This one, I don't want. He got to a point that Brother John Chari told him that the way you are doing, you will also block people's blessings. Say you are looking at this matter only one side, that there is another side to it. Some of the people that bring, they feel led to come and give. And if you begin to refuse them all the time, he said you will block the blessing they will have received. Then he now gave himself to Brother Abraham as an example. That's how Abraham narrated his story. He gave himself, because one day he was also very poor, one of the poorest people. He was huge, quite all right, but his job was to break concrete. And he was collecting about 25 cents per hour. And you know, concrete work, there's maximum hours you can do in a day. And while he was doing that, he did and did until he was able to make a down payment for a house. And then he begin to pay, to pay, until he pay, you finish. By that time, he has gotten married. And, of course, him and the wife, they will tell the Lord that after all this while, finally they are able to have their own house. As he lie down inside the house like this one, thanking the Lord, and saying that, God say, now rise up as you did so, take your clothes and the rest, and leave this house, and give the key to this evangelist that come to town. So he woke up in the morning and told the wife that I just had a dream now that I think is from the Lord. He must have judged himself that he does dreams. Those people that dream like that, they don't dream all the time. They may just be once in a year, but it's to the dot. Then the wife said, if that is what God said, let's go. You know, God knows how to make a couple. That because Brother Brown said that when God called a man, he called his wife along with him, if he's married. So he gave something and went to look for where they will sleep that night. That brother did not want to collect, but Brother John Charlie told him that it is God that told me to give you. So he collected. Now, for 1 year, apart from that night, they finally saw a rich woman that gave them a garage where she parks motor. Now, maybe relocate her motor and then say, you can use this garage. He didn't give them any room inside the house. Garage is for sitting room, dining, and everything. Everything is that garage. Maybe there will be one outside toilet they will be using. But all the rooms, the sitting, the dining, the relax, is inside the garage. So they went to go and buy a mattress and put on the ground. Not with wood now. Not that they are establishing house in the woman's house. Just to sleep on you. Then I begin to lie down there. Then on a condition of the service that they will render for this garage that is given to them. It's not altogether free. They are paid back this service by keeping the compound clean. Compound of Americas, if you look at from what Brother Brown said, one time he was having half acre at the back of his house that he used to weed. Half acre is three plots, three standard plots. An acre is six standard plots. I want you to have an idea of it. So, like when I went to Zimbabwe, their compound, is one person has about double of this, our church premises. Because the land is there. Not like Nigeria house. Mule Kale. So the woman said, you keep the compound clean, you'll be cutting the grass and also take care of the flowers. So before you go and break concrete, it will mow grass. The wife will sweep all the something, keep it clean. That is the condition to be sleeping in this garage. And they did that for 1 year. And the woman was watching the kind of life they were living there. Of course, they didn't fight. Then he also looked at the man used to read Bible anytime he's free, we reading Bible. She didn't do anything because of that. But one day after 1 year, then God now called the woman also and spoke to the woman. If God can talk to Pharaoh, who is a heathen, if he can talk to Nebuchadnezzar, who is a heathen, then God can talk to anybody when it is needed. So because of his son and daughter that were in this place now, God has to speak now to the rich woman and say, borrow this man. He didn't say give. Borrow him $10,000 for a business. Then the woman wake up and carry a checkbook and wrote John B. Charity and sign and called John Charity and say, come, sir. You have been here for about this 1 year and you have been taking care of the compound the way I told you to do. And I've also watched you. Watch your wife. I see you always reading your Bible and everything like that. So that God told me last night to borrow you $10,000 for business. You're like somebody now say wants to borrow me $20 million for business. I say, hold on first. Because I have to think of what does my vehicle cost and my house. Put them together. Are they up to $20 million? Because if anything happened to this morning, that's all I have to offer. So I have to ask the person to hold on first before you just grab money. He argument a little. The woman said, it was God that told me. And then John Charlie will remember too that God also told him one time to do something. So God can speak. So if God spoke then, God is also talking now. Then John Charlie collected the something and put it there. Didn't go and just start spending it all. Because God said for business. So he has to wait for which business. Because he himself said, I'm not a businessman. Because he has never done business up to that time. And God has said that this is for business. God has to bring the business now. And as he was walking a few days after that, he saw a house put for sale. Then he came and bought the house. But Abraham said that him and the wife, they went to go and work on the house, replaster it, paint it, make it presentable, and sold it. The amount they sold it was more than double of the price he bought it. As business started, to tell you that God does not talk anyhow. Every word that God spoke, you have to look at it and mind it. That is why when we are talking in the Sunday school about the windows of heaven, don't just, we have been reading it all these years and passing it. He said we open the windows of heaven and pour his blessing and there will not be room enough. Why is it most of the time we are always in red and the scripture is there and we never appeal to the scriptures? If God has been gracious to us, we have been faithful to his promises, we must see God on the scene also. Until Brabham was so sure of it, until he said that if God does not do it, call me a hypocrite. That it means that, and God, go and search the scriptures and see how many times God ever said, prove me. God himself, he put himself on trial. Nobody put him on trial. He said, prove me and see. Amen. I'm not sure we'll finish the something. But where we reach, we'll reach. Then maybe we'll find the time and try to finish it because it's already out. So we have to finish it. All right. Now, the things, what are the things that cause poverty? Let's read from Proverbs. There are so many things in the book of Proverbs, but because of time, we'll just read small. Proverbs chapter 6, from verse 4. He said, give not sleep to thy eyes, nor slumber to thy eyelids. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider our ways and be wise. Which having no guide, overseer or ruler. This ant, it doesn't have a guide. It doesn't have an overseer. It doesn't have a ruler. He says, he provided our meat in the summer and gathered our food in the harvest. He said, go and study the ant, thou sluggard. You see, the message we have most lazy people. When I went to Ghana, when Brother Akosoa, who is an engineer, was still alive, he confirmed the same. He took me to some of his sites, and he was still active till he died. I think what killed him was sleeping over work. He was still active. Even though they have been telling him to slow down. But slow down is fine. But when you look at responsibility left and right, how do you slow down? So many people have become beggars in the whole place. This and that. Sometimes people from even across other countries that know you, they'll be asking for help. So he told me that the brethren, they don't like to work. And yet somebody came here from Nigeria, which I recommended to him. And the person worked with him for some months. When he came back to his place in this Nigeria, the guy that he has been trying to make requests for them to move together before, that said no, and the mother said no. Immediately he come, they see that things have changed. They say now you can talk now. So. The first time, he was carrying a hook without a bait. This time around, where they see that the bait, the hook has bait now. And now you should... You are a new sinker. Yoruba will say that if you have full courses, where did you put your name before? He said, the sisters are not spiritual. Who tell you they are not spiritual? Who tell you they are not spiritual? The ritual says for better, for worse. Not for worse, for better. For better, for worse. That's why there's only move first before any high be. There must sort of all be a little thing to at least welcome somebody in there. May the Lord be our help. All right. Yet a little sleep. Okay, number verse 9. Have I read verse 9? How long without sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy bed? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. There are plenty scriptures in this book of Proverbs. The Bible says in there that the way the hinges is with this door, when you turn the door like this one, you know the hinges is what tie it to the doorpost. The way the door is moving on the hinges like this. See, that's how a lazy man is moving on the bed. Say, we say, sir, I say that there's lion outside. He never come out to say there is lion outside. Laziness is a terrible thing. May God have mercy upon us. Brother Abraham himself, he has done different type of work to survive. Different type of work to survive. Brother Abraham himself. And when he started, with just two rooms. Him and the wife. The cost of their rentage was $4 per month. He told us how he got a bed with this any sort of bread, local bed. He told us how he got. He said he went to people that are dealing in second hand things, that sell second hand. That's where he went to go and get old stove, this one, everything second hand to start the family. Because that is what they can afford at that time. One of the things that causes poverty is Aseju. I don't know where how to put it in English. Somebody doing beyond his level. You must know your level and operate in your level. If you don't operate in your level, you are living in a glare. You are living a deceitful life. And the later end will be worse than the beginning. Don't compare yourself with somebody else. Sometimes, you know, we ministers will look like rich people. What makes us to look like rich people? Because of our appearance. Most of the times, my appearance is gift. All these clothes, they give me. Even the shoe I wear, they give me. Last week's shoe, they give me. Yes. All my wardrobe, 90% is gift. I only go and buy clothes. And yet, I've lived real poor before. Nobody will know. Some of my shirts before I used to wear in those days that are round collar, they are shirts that the collars have chopped. When they chop, I will now remove the collar completely and sew it. It now becomes round collar. Then the shirt will continue its life. That is how we live. Nobody know. Nami only know.
I don't live my life to look, I mean, to attract pity from anybody. I've never lived a type of, even when I trek to church, nobody knows. Because I've trekked to church before. I trek back home before. Where? So, Brother Brown said, you don't live that type of pity, let people pity me. No! Are you handicapped? Are you sick? The book of Ephesians chapter 4 said, verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Instead of stealing, he said yourself, work, labor with your hands, till I'm standing now. If they still give me farm work, I will still collect. This very year, I do a lot of manual job. I don't need to come and announce to anybody. I make small things out of it. Those are the things that keep me going. I have witnesses here. At least, this is Brian Yinka here. Sometimes I used to give him some work. If I did here, I'll give you some work before. You don't need to... as long as these hands are there, the legs are there. You will labor. If I have the strength, I will do and work with the block people to carry blocks. If I have the strength for it, if not because of it, that makes some work I cannot do now. Before, when I came to Ibadan, I do all work, making heaps, clearing farm, different things with my own hand. Somebody must prove a man is a man. Yes. Laziness is completely condemned by God. And some people to worship matters, they have wasted their years. When some should have learned work, they did not learn work. You grow to some age where you will not be able to learn work again. And the certificate you have can also not feed you. You become liability to yourself, liability to everybody around you. Few years back, before Baba Adeyele died, he told me one time that he's learning something. I smiled. I said, what is this man learning? He took me to the place where he was learning how they used to do glass and this side. He's learning it so that he can know if he invests in that business, he'll be able to, the thing he'll be able to supervise it and know how profitable it is. Like Igbo people, if they want to sell pure water, they first of all go and learn it. If they want to sell anything, they first of all go and learn it. May God be merciful unto us. We are talking about prosperity. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 to 12. For even when we were with you, this we commanded that you, that if any will not work, neither should he eat. These are the other side of the something. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, walking not at all, but are busy bodies. Now them that are sold, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they walk and eat their own bread. These are part of the instructions of the scriptures. We have talked about to care for the poor, to whatever, but which poor now are we talking about? Because Brother Paul went further when he was talking to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8. He said, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he had denied the faith, and and is worse than infidel. This is the scripture I fear most. And infidel is somebody that does not believe in God. It's like an atheist. You say, if anybody does not provide for his own and also for people of his own house, he said the person has denied the faith and is worse than infidel. Let me say this. If care is not taken, poor person will become poorer. You know why? A poor person, in most cases, they get to a spot they don't pay tithe. Because the money is not enough. And by that, it comes under the curse of God's word. And when somebody is under a curse, he cannot get blessings. And that is actually what Satan wants to do for the person. To keep the person poor and then poorer. But if right from the onset, the person is able to resist that temptation of not paying tithe, is able to resist it, then there is hope for the person. You have read Abraham's oath. He said he was sick, his father was sick, and this and that. He said, yet out of that, he first of all paid his tithe first. Then we go and meet the person he owe money that, please, this week I cannot pay. Please, next week. That is another thing with our message of the hour. Once people owe money, it is bye-bye. He says, supposed to understand now. He cannot understand. He cannot understand. The only understanding is for the person, for you to tell the person, I'm sorry, that money, I can't pay it now. For this and for that reason. It is not that time you'll be putting on new clothes. If the thing will not be clear. You always say, you they bring out new clothes every time. They look your leg, they shine every time. And you are giving an excuse. It's not clear. He can't understand. One time in Ghana, Brad Tim said somebody came to meet him in the house. I said, Brad Tim, I beg give me so a month. When we get to church, I'll give you. So, Brad Tim said, when we get to church, okay. He enter house, he give him the money. Say then, they get to church, he was using the corner of eye to monitor the brother. So, the brother too was studying him. As he see Bratin coming like this, he passed that place. And then Bratin too was haunting him. As he sees that like this, he passed that place. Then finally, Bratin went to Asma. He just leaving to relax. Then he went to go and block his door. He said, brother, we are in church. This is church. Where is the money? You collected the money, say when we get. Now we are already in church. Because you say when we get to church, we are in church now. So where is the money? Then begin to say, we are in church. This is church. You told me where we get to church. And now we have arrived church. We are in church. So where is the money? We have that plenty in the message. The person is acting contrary to the instruction of the message. If you say borrow, borrow means borrow. If you say borrow, it must be in your plan. According to what Abraham has said, after he has removed his tithe, the next thing is to service his debt. Then the next thing he live on it. That is how he was doing it. But if he doesn't remove this tithe, he has already incurred God's wrath. He's under a curse. So this debt gun that he's trying to, he will not be able to pay the debt. Everything, you know, Abraham too, because he was not able to service a debt before of government, I mean of a company, they came to carry his chair now. The chair, the first chair, he bought, he made a down payment. I think the old chair was about $20 something. So he made a down payment of
About $2 or $3, he said. Then he is to be paying $1 every week. But there come about 2 weeks, he could not pay the dollar. And the people were calling. Abraham said, he told the wife, tell them to come and carry it. Because the expenses now was much. He has to see to this, see to this, see to this, see to this. So once he removed his tithe, the other things were so tired that they just couldn't make up with it. Then they came to carry the chair. So they start sitting on the ground or go and sit on their mattress. That was the messenger of the age. As at that time, the angel have already descended and spoke to him that it is his message that will forerun the first coming of second coming of Christ. As at this time we are talking about. Because that voice has spoken before he got married. And this time he is already married. So as the messenger, he also have it rough. But he was faithful to God's instruction. What leads to poverty? Laziness leads to poverty. If you are supposed, if you are doing, if you look, I want to be very practical. There was one time we went to Brahmic office at, is it Arometa, whatever they call that place, or Remeta, that they organized something that time, a seminar for the brethren. I think the resource persons, we have Professor Ayo John, I think Brother Funshaw was one of the resource persons, I don't know who and who again, that talk on that something. They talk about vocation, they talk about profession, they talk about this, they talk about that one. I don't know whether that one enter our ear or you enter here and come out from the other one. What they are talking is facts. The reason I have to go to this, some of this laborious work I went to, is because I did not have good certificate to begin with. My father could only afford university education for the first person, and that is all. The two women ahead of me, it's more than school, that's all. Then, me, I was the next. Just secretarial school, not even to the end of it. Once our we differ on religion, it stopped payment. Then, the last person that went to university, we are the one now that sponsoring. Those are situations that came because of where things one could not help. That's nothing. But even when that one, I didn't put myself, when I need to go and do farm work, I go and do. Construction work, I go and do. You need to know what went to do in the east. What we call work there. Many times, we sleep in the wilderness. We will not go to the house, we sleep in the bush throughout the night. The suffering like that one is very rare. But we must walk. Somebody must walk. That is the order of the scripture. It started in Genesis when there was a fall. The instruction that was given to Adam is that in the sweat of your face, you will eat all the days of your life. And you can't dodge it. Some of these young ones that are coming up, wake up now and ask questions. Talk to people. Don't just, if not, you are preparing for your future ministry. Your future ministry is what you are preparing for. Wake up now before it is late. Ask questions. So they will say, whether I can do this one, you will be doing like this. So look, what is when situation comes, what is worse than that you will do? Maybe you are hiding under the benevolence of the message. After all, people will care for the poor. That is when they have. Will I send my child so that I can give money out? I can't send my children. Wake up before it is too late. If you get a job close to you that is 20,000 that you not enter transport, while you are waiting to get another work, be doing that one. And when you collect the 20,000, pay your tithe out of it. And be praying to God. Say, God, this is what I can get. This one cannot survive, but I must walk. This is your word, say, I must walk. So I'm walking. Provide another one. And then we'll come to prayer request on Kenny. Nobody is praying for work. Nobody is this one. You just give, I look at the request. Nobody is Kenny. It means any area you don't have a need is an area where you are satisfied. Is that not? May God be our help. No, we are talking about prosperity. I was talking to somebody recently. I said, the way this guy is going, he's treading a dangerous path. Look at the age. A single person now, how much do you think can feed one person for a month? In this current something now. To feed a whole person now. And some of these young ones, they can devour mountains. Yes! When I was young, I was a great eater too. Because of farm work, my stomach was so large and the appetite was anything you bring, I quash it. But that's also how I walk in the bush. But if you don't walk that kind of work and yet you are devouring mountain, look, be sure that the work you are doing is bringing you money. If not, you end up being a thief. Look at. God bless you. I say, God bless you. Look. I will. When I look at it, I see waiting with me. I will look for another service. I come and continue it. There are things that this is where it is easy to talk. That you cannot talk it outside. If no one will get insult. While I'm here, I can say it, back it up with the word of God. You can't do me anything. When we get outside, at least that God bless you, bro. God bless you, bro. If you bring that subject matter, I will ask you to go and listen to the sermon. The Lord bless you. So many things lead to poverty, but we don't attack it early. This university, whatever you will go to today, there are just few courses that have future. Very few courses that have future. Majority of the courses, you just come out with ordinary paper that is valueless. And you will wear a gown. They will snap picture. But gown upon what? Odo is still the thing. Odo. Zero. You carry that same university certificate to somewhere, they will be offering you 50,000 per month. They will be offering you 30,000 per month. But somebody else with the same university, because the right course is studied, if they are making million over million. Why you yourself, you are dabbling with 30, you are arguing with, about saying 50. And you went to university together. If you happen to study course that doesn't have head or tail, go learn, look for another vocation work, learn and join it. Learn it and join it so that you'll be able to balance it together. The brain you acquire for going to university is just to widen your wake up, your thinking faculty to be able to think. Not to think the way of 419, but to think the right way to be able to get resources. Because there are several. It's because I don't have certificate. But the little resources that is on this earth is plenty. That I can say authoritatively. May the Lord be our help. Prosperity. A poor man, if care is not taken, is likely to be getting poorer, 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 until he becomes poorest. While the rich get richer, richer. We have not gotten to some areas which we still have it there. We still have plenty things here to really talk about. Merciful, gracious. It's likely on Wednesday we bring this one inside. Then I bring the service to all of you together will be one sermon. Prosperity. It is the wish and the desire of God Himself that we should prosper and also be in health as our soul prospered. It is God's own wish and desires. Prosperity in the wrong way is also there. Anyone that go that way, the law gun is there to catch up with you. Apart from God's word. If you go the wrong way and the law catch you, they send them to jail every day. I see, look at the news this morning. Some people, EFCC, they carry EFCC something in their chest and they jail them because of fraud. If you make fraud, they catch you. Me, I will not be there. You just quietly go to where the people in uniform, where you use your uniform for the number of time they allot to you, and that is all. Because that is the work of your hands. Now you cook the soup. You also have to lick it. But God promised to bless the works of our hands. The Bible said that the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. But for lazy persons, look at what Brother Paul was saying. He says some are not working, but they are busy with bodies. Talkative. Go and be talking this, talking this, because they are not working. And they ought to be working. Look at David. When he made his greatest downfall, well, when he's supposed to go to war. The Bible said that when the time when kings go to war. Is that in scripture? The time when kings go to war. But David did not go to war. But that is the time that kings go to war. And he's a king. And I was walking on the something then, Satan showed him what he will see. That led him to become an adulterer, led him to become a murderer, and so on and so forth. Because he was idle. The time when he ought to go to war, he sat back at home. If you are at home, I don't believe, look, if you are looking for work, I've seen people that are looking for work before. You wake up of a morning, pray, read your scripture, pray, and then say, God, lead me where I am to look for work today. Not that you just be rolling on the bed from left to right and be thinking miracle will happen. That is not the way God operates. He must be up and doing. Somebody that is going to work, he will wake up and will do, eat or no eat, is on his way to work. You get to that work, sometimes the work is rough. People will abuse you there and insult you and talk things to you and the rest of it before you come back home. Come back home tired. All of it is packaged inside the work. Make a while the sun shines. They say a stint in time. He says nine. May the Lord be our help. We still have some junks inside that we have to release. We'll still talk more about what leads to poverty. We'll talk more to the poor. Then we'll also talk to the rich. We have not talked to the rich yet. We'll talk to the rich by God's word here. And then we'll say, you see, let me say this before we pray. This is church. I know that all of us read the message. I want to believe. Even if we don't read the message, there are some areas that all of us read. The church takes care of its own. Is that not? But there are instructions that guide it. So when you pick it, you carry all the instructions around it. Brother Abraham told us in the church order that when any need is to be attended to as a church, it must be investigated. It's part of the instructions. Are you following me? In the investigation, Brother Taiwo, say he needs something. Say, are you working? How much is your salary? He said, that is personal. Then you are not ready for this. Investigating involves knowing your income. Why did this need arise? People want to hide the income and then come and be presenting their need. It doesn't work. Silence everywhere. Silence or noise, truth is truth. The message said it must be investigated. If you don't want the people to know all about you, don't go and make requests. If it's an outsider, Abraham told us how to do it. If you come as an outsider and there is no way to go and prove it, say to be announced from the pulpit, the person will stand, that's what I did for somebody, he was not ready for it. Then he went away. His hand was not clean. But I dealt with the person by the message. Because we couldn't prove what he's talking about. I said, so I will announce at the pulpit, you will stand at the door, I will announce, then the people, when they are going out, they will give you what they can afford. He said, I should not worry. We are following a message. You are not ready to follow the way our message is, then stay away. You got to prove it. Say if the person is a stranger, whatever, you stand at the door, then what we can, we'll tell you, well, this person came in, this is his name, he said this happened, and this happened, and this and that. So, and we don't have time now to prove, to examine what he's talking about. So, and since it is urgent, as you stand at the door, if you don't have, if you are ashamed to stand at the door, then you don't come at all. After all, beggars on the street, they carry their plate and put it in their foot. Is it not? Mm-hmm. That's why Abraham said that begging is a bad business. It's a bad business. It's not an easy thing. You slack your head sometimes to know how to start. Something that is not scratching you, you'll be scratching it. Scratch this side and the rest of it. At the end of the day, you begin to stammer when you are not a stammerer before. May God have mercy. Labor with your hands. When it is not enough, go on your knees. If you go on your knees and you are following this path, I can tell you that God can, without asking anybody, he can miraculously be supplying needs. This same God that put it in the heart of people, go and do this one for this one, go and do this one for this one, go and do this one for this one, that same God is still alive. Only if you follow God's principles. You have to be satisfied with this message. This message, as I have preached thus far now, I don't think I will get 100% likeness for the content of it. Oh, sure. I may not get 100% likeness for all the content of it. But it is the truth, it is the truth. And I owe no apology at all on every statement. Because they are honestly the word of God, and they are all together the truth. Before you can get any blessing from God, first of all, you must like his word. Whether it is sweet or bitter. First of all, you must like his word. He can't change it. It's already written now, so he can no more change it. So you have to adjust yourself to like his word. Then after you like it, then you now say, God, be merciful to me. And see how you can amend your ways. The Lord bless you. I say, the Lord bless you. What's that in a cottage or whatever? I'm satisfied with just a curtain below. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
am satisfied. Just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in the city, oh, where the ransom we shine, oh, I want a gold one that is silver land.
Spoken. If you find yourself wanting anywhere, ask God for help, for grace, for mercy. If you are failing, especially in tithes and offering, you are closed against yourself the windows of heaven. But if God has helped you to be faithful in that, and yet the enemy is trying to put his leg on the path of your blessing, I tell you that you have a right this morning's afternoon to point the Almighty God to that and say, God, look at what you said in your word. You said we should prove you. I've done my best. I don't know where I ever owe your money or take your money into my own. I've done my best. But the enemy is trying to put his leg. He's trying to devour. You promise to rebuild the devourer. Move on the scene. Let your glory. You say you will pour your blessing that there will not be room enough for me to even keep those things. Which means I will have an abundance and an excess. Dear Lord, you don't play with your words. Your word is the truth. It ever remains the truth. I am waiting for the abundance as you pour at the gate of Samaria. I am waiting for the abundance as you pour in the wilderness. I'm waiting for their borders. As you use 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed about 15,000 people, I am waiting for their borders. It is your promise. Your prophet himself said that if I follow this instruction and you don't come on the scene, we should call him a hypocrite. And we know it's because of the confidence he has in you and your word. That's why I could say like that. Almighty God, look into this situation. You are the greatest auditor in heaven and earth. You are the chief accountant of the entire universe. You know how everything runs. Look at my account. If I fail anywhere, it's not deliberate. Forgive me. But move on the scene. Demonstrate your power. Let your glory be seen. I cannot be paying my debt and be owing debt on me at the same time. It's contrary to your promises. Because you promise you open the windows of heaven and pour out your blessings. And you wish above all things that I prosper and I be in good health as my soul prospereth. So I'm waiting to see prosperity on every side. Health-wise, physically, spiritually. It is your wish for me. It's your desire for me. It's your promise for me. I must prosper. The scripture said, blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performer of the things that are spoken unto her from the Lord. As many as believe these things, blessed are they, because there shall be a performer of the things that are spoken from God's word. Because God is not a liar. The word of the Almighty God is truth, and the word of God will defeat Satan anytime, anywhere, under any circumstances. All powers in heaven and earth, they must bow to this word because they are absolutely the truth. Does anyone want to be remembered in prayer? Beside those at the altar, we just lift up your hand where you are, putting your request in your heart. God heareth and answereth prayers. Gracious eternal Father, thank you for this portion of your word that we have traveled through. We thank you for your faithfulness in all the generations. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are still faithful, and you continue to be faithful. Dear Master, whatever has made your people, some at the altar, and majority, if not all, have their hands up, I commit every need and request into your hand, thou faithful God, that promise that we should prove you. Master Jesus, it is your word. You are not going to retrieve it, because it has been spoken already. Dear Father, it has to happen. It has to be performed. While your grace has made us to look at it today, your inspiration, you sure have something behind it to achieve. If not, you will not bring the inspiration to call you Lord to this table. Dear Father, we are proving you. You say we should prove you. Open the windows of heaven. Send down the abundance. Rebuild the devourers. When the abundance come according to your word, we will not have enough room to contain them. That is your word. We are not going to adjust your word. Because you say you will not bend your word. Because you say what you mean, and you mean just what you are saying. Dear Father, may they come to pass to the dot in the name of Jesus Christ. As many as you believe these things, your word say, blessed are they. Because there shall be a performer of the things that are spoken to them from the Lord. Let it be Heavenly Father. We are grateful and we are thankful. We have the honor to be your children. We are happy that you are our Father. We give you all the glory and the honor. May your name be glorified. If there be any that the enemy have cheated, Lord, in curing your wrath, dear Father, Solomon prayed a prayer that if their people be put to the worst before the enemy, because they have sinned, say, but if they will think of themselves and turn back to look unto you through this temple and pray unto you, he said, forgive. Lord Jesus, while the people by faith are looking to the temple where you sit, O Father, and in this earthly temple you are giving unto us to worship in, where they are soberly in your presence, thinking in their heart that they have allowed the enemy to cheat them, may there come a genuine repentance. May they make a fair decision. May you help them with their decision. May you forgive their sins. Send your blessings. Give them another chance, Heavenly Father.
grant it King of Glory. If there be anyone that is lazy here, that is slothful, your word said we should not be slothful in business. Dear Father, help your people, Lord. Take away every slothful spirit. Give unto us, O God, that spirit that will be active as we are expected to, that will walk, O Father, as we are expected to. And your prophet has said that physical thing times spiritual. When somebody is lazy physically, he'll be lazy spiritually. Deliver your people from laziness. Deliver them from slothfulness. Help us to be up and doing, dear Father. Take all the glory unto you. Blessed be your wonderful name. The further part of the sermon is your hand. When, O God, will bring it, may he gloom with this one, Father. May he form a full blessing in the heart of your people. Thank you, King of Glory. Blessed be your wonderful name. The next service ahead of us, one more time, you send your blessings unto us. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray with faith and thanksgiving. Amen. Shall we rise? Shall we rise? We'll take that hymn once again as a closing hymn. I'm satisfied with, oh, just a cottage below. A little silver and a little gold, but in the city where the ransom will shine, I want a good one that is silver.
Set to Zion. to